Hey everybody, I'm Julia.
I'm Miranda.
And we're here to do one thing.
Put the pee in raspberry. And just like the pee in raspberry,
everything we're about to say is completely pointless.
Every week, Julia and I will give our unwanted opinions on all things pop culture.
Because what the world needs now, more than ever, is another flamboyantly beguiling duo with a podcast that contributes absolutely nothing to society. Enjoy!
And you know what?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Pee and Raspberry. As per usual, I'm Julia, here with
Miranda.
And we are back with another scrumptious yet unnecessary episode. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing some of the most anticipated films of 2021. I always forget that word.
You got it. You got there.
Thank you. I'm very excited to discuss this today. Although first, Miranda, would you mind reminding our audience what it is we discussed last week? Because it was a topic very near and dear to both of our human hearts.
Yes, so last week, as you hopefully know, because hopefully you did tune in to our last episode, we discussed the film Malcolm and Marie, which has already come out, but was highly anticipated, even though it came out, you know, a month into 2021. And so we're not going to discuss that again, obviously, but just do want to mention it. It was highly anticipated and was beautiful. And that's all. If you didn't listen to last week, go back and listen after this episode, of course.
I feel genuinely bad for those who missed it. The first movie I'm going to mention before we really get knee deep in all this saucy film talk is Cherry, featuring the one and only Thomas Stanley Holland. Now, this film is being talked about quickly with Malcolm and Marie, because we are going to do our own review on Cherry when it comes out. We are Tom enthusiasts. I flew across America to meet him at one point in my life. It was a great day. So when Cherry comes out, we will have an entire episode devoted to that. Everyone listening right now is like, oh, come on.
Come on.
Who wants
Move
that?
Move on.
And I understand. So however, we're not going to mention that a lot, but remember that is a highly anticipated film for 2021. It is directed by the Russo brothers, who direct a lot of the Marvel Avengers films. So it'll be very interesting to see Thomas in that. However, Tom, today is not your day. Miranda, I would be ecstatic if you mentioned our first real nitty-gritty, flirtatious film that is highly anticipated for the year of 2021.
Yes, so the first one I want to discuss is something that I am personally really excited for. It's a musical, it's a remake, it's going to have a big theatrical release, hopefully in 2021, when theaters are open again. And it is West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg. And it's starring a newcomer, Rachel Zegler, who just seems like a really cool person. Honestly, I'm really excited for her. I don't know her, but she is like our age. This is her first role in any film or television or anything. She hasn't done anything like that before. And she's really talented.
Yeah, I really personally, physically and mentally enjoy, just kidding. I enjoy the way she interacts with fans on Twitter. I have a lot of Rachel mutuals. So it'll be really cool to see her play such a big role in a Steven Spielberg movie. Can you imagine your first film being directed by Steven Spielberg? And it's such a classic, like West Side Story, and you are legitimately playing Maria.
And just like,
that is bonkers.
I'm pretty sure that she loves West Side Story and grew up, you know, watching it, listening to the music. So that is absolutely ridiculous. I can't imagine how that feels.
I can't imagine. And I won't allow myself to, because it'll end in a pit of despair. But I'm genuinely very happy for you, Rachel. And is there anything more? Oh, it's going to be released in, I think, December 2021, as of right now.
December 10th, 2021, I believe, is the predicted release date, or what they moved it to. It was supposed to come out this past December, but like many films, got pushed back. But yes, I'm excited this winter.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure a plethora of the films we were mentioning today were originally planned, or not necessarily planned for 2020, but they're planned for much earlier, 2021, or as of right now, they don't have set release dates, because a lot of these directors are bigger directors, and these are bigger anticipated films and they are really looking for a theatrical release. And as we have seen with Tenet, that is not proving to be successful during this current time. So I think people are very stressed and scrambling for a solution to that. So I wish all well. Rachel, whenever your West Side Story dream comes true for the rest of the world, you already lived it. We wish you well here on the P in Raspberry.
You know what would be so fun, but completely unrealistic? Let's invite Rachel Zegler, star of West Side Story, to be on our podcast when it comes
out. I'll SMS text her.
Yeah.
That would be great. Oh my gosh, we should say, okay, when we talk about each film, not including Zendaya, because she's already like upstairs in my house right now, she's like doing her own thing. Let's say, who would be a genuine good guest? Rachel, I think, is a great option. She would come and do what she needs to. She'd be very well-spoken, but also fun, flirty. But she'd also be like a little bit shy. Almost be like, she'd be a little more like, a little bit more like you. I'd kind of have to claw it out of her a little bit. And I'd love every second of it. We should do, okay. So Steven Spielberg, though, we're not having him.
No. Just Rachel.
No. Yeah, agree. Okay. So speaking of people we would or would not have on our show, the next two films I'm about to mention, I feel like can sort of, in a sense, be grouped with West Side Story because they're rather, I don't know. You guys will understand what I'm saying. So we have Blonde and The Matrix 4. Now, I'll start with Blonde. Blonde is a film starring Ana de Armas as Marilyn Monroe. And she wears a blonde wig, guys, and she winged eyeliner, if that's something you're into. Oh, she looks really gorgeous. I actually ironically saw a picture today of her on set, and I was like, wowza, who even is built like that? Anyways, and then The Matrix 4, which, as per usual, starring Keanu Reeves, so sexy yet so mature. It's like great. Both films are set to come out this year. However, I'm not sure. For Blonde, it's Netflix?
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but I learned it when I was looking it up. It is supposed to come out on Netflix, and it's hopefully going to be this year, but it's not confirmed.
Right. And then The Matrix 4 is going to be one of those in theaters and HBO Max for 30 days type situations. Both look promising. I mean, Blonde, I definitely will make an effort to watch, especially if it's on Netflix. I didn't even know that. Just because I think Ana de Armas is a very talked about celebrity right now for people our age. And her breakup with Ben Affleck was iconic. And you know all those photos of him holding the Dunkin' Donuts and his packages and his butts hanging out. Oh, I thought you were going
to say all those photos of the Ana de Armas.
Oh, them throwing away the Ana de Armas life-size cutout? Yes. That was, okay, that was, I don't even know why I didn't mention that. That was hilarious. That's so funny to me. Ana blocking all her fan account. Like, it's just chaos. And as a result, I need to support the movie. The Matrix 4, to be honest, I'm not sure I can see myself running to watch it. I've only seen the first Matrix film.
Yes.
So perhaps if I require some entertainment, I will watch this whole trilogy, then watch the fourth. However, unlikely Keanu. However, love ya.
I mean, just them creating a new one like several years later does make me curious about the other sequels, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So out of all those people I just mentioned, who would you like on the show?
Probably Keanu Reeves. I'm just curious what he's like, you know?
I would like him on the show too, but I'll be honest, he would scare us, I think, a little
bit. He probably would, but I think that would make it entertaining.
Yeah. I think he'd be very confused by what we mean, and he would show up to my house physically. We'd be like, no, this is very much over Zoom. And he would be like on my lap, like screaming. And it'd be like a whole thing. And we'd be like very like overwhelmed. Our viewers wouldn't know what's going on. Our viewers probably just wouldn't believe us it's Keanu.
Yeah.
Like, to Rachel, like, she would be nice to reach out, but Keanu, like, we could post all these pictures that no one would believe us. So, Ana, I'm not having you on. I can just have that life-size cutout of you. What are you talking about?
Much less expensive.
Right? No, those two films, I just want to say, look promising. And both are very star-studded. I feel like a lot of movies this year, well, it's actually such a stupid statement. I was about to say, a lot of movies this year are star-studded. That doesn't even make sense. Like, that's the dumbest thing I could possibly say.
Are star-studded.
Yeah, that's like the definition of Hollywood. But no, I guess what I'm trying to say is, there's been such an influx of films that star multiple A-list celebrities, and we'll get more into that towards the end of the episode, but that's just very interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when they asked me to be in Blonde, I had to, you know, I just decided it wasn't really the right time because I felt as though, you know, we really need to pay homage to A-list celebrities right now. And like, we really need to praise the rich. Mm-hmm. So it was time for me to step down and know my place.
Yeah, you definitely need to wait until after this podcast becomes really successful, and then you'll be on the same level as all the other A-list celebrities.
When I'm like pictured with Timothée Chalamet in Mexico, and like he has a tent in his pants, then they might think to call me. Mm-hmm. But until then, I need to know my place in this world. I do.
Okay. Moving on to the next few movies, I would like to discuss sort of going back in time to our childhood. There's a lot of movies that are basically revivals of things that we watched when we were kids. For example, the Tom and Jerry movie, which is coming out really soon. It's coming out February 26th, and it's one of those in theaters and on HBO. This is interesting because it's one of those movies where it's a mix of live action and animation. So basically, everything is live action except Tom and Jerry
themselves. They didn't cast a real mouse?
Unfortunately, they didn't.
Okay.
They just animated him instead.
Okay.
Yeah, so the premise is Tom and Jerry move to Manhattan and get up to their regular hijinks. And that's all.
It's like the Euphoria episode. They move to Manhattan.
Rue and Jules move to Manhattan.
Why is that so funny? Do mice really move? Does he have a luggage and a hat? Does he move to Manhattan? Like, is that... I'm sorry. This is so funny to me. Here's my question. Here's my question about Tom and Jerry. Who out of you and I, Miranda, who's Tom and who's Jerry? And there is a right answer. Go. And it does determine our friendship moving forward.
But I feel like I'm going to offend you.
Okay, first of all, I'm clearing up for the audience who's who because I did not know. So Jerry is the mouse and Tom is the kitty cat.
Yes, okay. I think that I'm Jerry. I knew you were going to say that. So but I just think that it's everybody wants to be Jerry because he's obviously the better character.
It's not that I want to. What are you talking about? He's not the best. Tom's hilarious.
Okay.
It's not that I want to be Jerry. But realistically, Miranda, if this were to be cast, first of all, I look more like Jerry. Let's actually start there. But if this were to be cast IRL and they needed two women, 119, 120, you're 20, right?
Yes.
Who, realistically, Miranda, you know the answer to that. Why would you be chasing me? Why would you be dropping things on my head? What are you talking about?
Okay.
That would not happen. But I'm much more aggressive and like non-understanding.
No, but that's what you're not understanding. Tom is the one who just like does things in like a reactionary sort of way. Jerry is the one who's like living his life, being really smart, planning all these traps.
That is not true. Jerry is the one who is fixated on this idea of making Tom's life as crazy and inconvenient as possible. Miranda, which one out of the two? Let's say you and I got into a huge blowout fight, right? And we were like, seriously, friendship over. And let's also pretend like you and I lived, we were next door neighbors. We lived in the same town, right? Who is more likely to decide, oh, now that this friendship is over, I'm going to spend every moment of my life making hers a living hell?
Yeah, you would. Me. But this is where we disagree. Okay. So. I understand. The thing is that to me, Tom's like instinct is to go after Jerry because he's a cat and Jerry is a mouse. So obviously cats like to eat mice, right? Like that's the entire premise. Yep. Jerry, originally it started as an act of defense, and then he realized, I'm so much smarter than this dumb cat, I can just continue to like plant traps for him all the time.
Yes, and who out of the two of us would be metaphorically attacked by society, and then in an effort to defend herself, realizes that not only can she defend herself, she's better than the attackers.
Yes.
Who is that more
obviously
likely to be?
You.
Thank you.
But I do so need to
the
say,
case is closed.
At the end of the day.
And Jerry's name literally sounds like Julia. What?
At the end of the day, I think that we're both Jerry. Let's admit.
Jerry squared. They cast the movie for the two of us. They're like, no, we both need to play Jerry. So how are you going to do this? That's like, okay, fine. I'll settle on where. No, you know what I think it is? I'm Jerry. And you know who you are?
Am I Chloe Grace Moretz?
No. You wish I was going to say that. Ken Jeong. Whatever his name is.
I hate you. That
what's
actually.
His name? Ken.
Ken Jeong, yeah.
Okay.
So if you didn't know, Chloe Grace Moretz is like the main star of the movie. Ken Jeong also guest stars And I'm
he's
sure
in
a bunch of
every
other
movie now.
He really is.
And that would be you, Miranda. Or I don't remember. I mean, there's also other really recognizable people that, like, you don't really remember their name. Like, it's those faces you recognize. But, okay, I guess we'd be, like, a Jerry Square type situation. Mm. And the kids would go crazy. But who would be Tom then? Tom Holland?
Yeah, probably. We would have fun.
I actually could see that.
On him.
That's actually very accurate. Maybe I actually should ask his parents if that's the inspiration for his name. Because Tom actually does remind me a lot of Tom via Tom and Jerry. Mm. Yeah. So who out of Tom and Jerry would we have on this show?
Definitely Jerry. We just expressed how much we like him.
Or Ken Jeong.
Or, okay, I thought you meant just the duo of Tom and Jerry. Definitely Ken Jeong. I have lots of questions for him, mostly about Community.
I was just going to say, see, we wouldn't ask him. That's how you get your guests. That's actually my plan for when I become a talk show host one day. I invite on the guest. I say, oh, Zendaya, you've just released Dune. You know, let me really interview you for a second. And she comes on and I go, okay, Zendaya, I have a really pressing question. When you were 12 years old and you made that video, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's great. Like, that's how you get your guests. You don't ask them about the movie because nobody cares. Nobody cares. Do you think that Ken Jeong's greatest legacy is working with CGI mice and kitty cats? Absolutely not. It's
We have to wait till the movie comes out. We'll see. It could amaze
that's actually
us.
True.
His performance could be.
Yeah, but even if it's great, like just the pandemic that we're in, it's not going to do as well as it could have. So I'm not giving Ken Jeong the benefit of the doubt. He's lived, you know, he's. No, his greatest legacy is Community, and that's what we're asking about. No, we don't even ask him about him on Community. We just ask him about the show in general.
Yes.
He comes on and
we
say,
the cast.
Mm-hmm. We say, so what was it like working with such gorgeous women? How was Dean in real life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we go from there.
Perfect plan. I like how we're planning out future hypothetical episodes of the podcast during this episode.
All right. I'm like, somebody get a pen and paper.
Okay, so continuing on the track of things from our childhood, there's also the SpongeBob movie, which is called Sponge on the Run, which is just wonderful title writing. Mm-hmm. I was looking this up, and I'm genuinely confused, so if anybody wants to correct me, send us an email. But I'm pretty sure this movie has literally been released everywhere except the United States.
What?
Because it was originally planned for earlier, but then they were like, we're going to release it on Netflix everywhere except the U.S. At least that's what I understood during my reading on this.
Well, the sponge is quite literally on the run then because he's out of America.
Yeah.
And he's branching out.
Yep. And this movie also has some fun guest stars, including someone we already discussed, Keanu Reeves. He's just getting around these
days. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Keanu Reeves plays, it's like a rock or something with Keanu's face on it. Is that what you're talking about?
I have no idea who he actually plays.
Yeah, I saw a clip of this the other day. It's like a... It's a completely random, or it's not a rock, it's something, it's like, let's ask the blah, blah, blah with Keanu Reeves on it. Like, it makes no sense. And then they turn and it's like a really poorly edited Keanu on this. Oh, so maybe you're right. Maybe it is out in other places, because otherwise, how did I see it? But I don't know.
And then there's also Cyndi Lauper, Awkwafina, and Snoop Dogg guest starring. For what reason? I cannot tell you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's like an ombre of actors right there. Okay. Sponge on the Run. I'm quite literally running from you because I'm not that interested. I never really enjoyed SpongeBob too much. As a kid, I was more into more sophisticated programs such as Tom and Jerry. So hang on. No, I was really into Cat Dog. That was my kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I liked like Hey Arnold, and it doesn't matter. We're gonna get copyrighted. Yeah. This is stupid. Moving on. So do I still want to? Oh, okay. If we're talking about kids' movies, I physically feel a need to mention this film, and it is called Minions: The Rise of Gru. Now, I am a big fan of Despicable Me and the Minions. I have watched all movies, all the Despicable Me's and all the Minions movies, multiple times for multiple different reasons. I'm choosing not to specify in this moment. So Minions, The Rise of Gru, when I tell you, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, when I tell you it's my dream, I actually am pretty sure it was supposed to come out July 2nd, 2020. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure because my birthday is July 5th. And I actually specifically remember texting Karen a screenshot of this Minions movie and being like, Karen, I'm not kidding. For my birthday, can we see this in the city? Because I was so excited. And it seems like the perfect recipe, because I genuinely find, I don't know why, but there are just certain things in like children's movies I'll always really gravitate towards. If a film like takes place in a tropical setting, for example, as a kid, I would just be obsessed with that. But if a film goes back to show a certain guy's upbringing. Like, I'm obsessed with when films are, like, weirdly smart. So Gru is the type of person who lives in this alternate dimension. It's an alternate universe. Mm-hmm. So whenever they make little comment, like, I don't know, whenever they do something, like, smart, like, oh, this is their world's version of this, that's my weak spot, and I don't know why. Like, the Bee movie, I was obsessed with for this reason. That Robots movie as a kid, I loved. Any movie about, like, bugs, I'm like, yes, because I want to see, yes, what's your world's version of a microwave? Yes. That is my drug. Give me your world's version of the dishwasher. That's hilarious. So Minions, The Rise of Gru is going to be so good. I want to see his mom when she was younger. She was so cutesy. I want to see, like, little baby Minions, because it is still a Minions movie, so mm-hmm. I wonder how they're going to incorporate the Minions. And I'm so excited. And I want to see little cutesy 11-year-old Gru turn evil and his big old nose, like, get into mischief and, like, be adorable. And, like, Tom and Jerry comes in and, like, the Minions are like, beep boop. And they have their bananas and, like, their butts are out. It's so cute. I love it. Zayn Malik actually loves the Minions. So I know this is going to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for this because it is an origin story about Gru, basically. And I love an origin story. I love an origin story for Same. A villain, which speaking
That's
of...
That's what I was trying to say, origin story, yes.
Yes. Which speaking of, we do also have Cruella on our list, which is the Cruella de Vil origin story starring Emma Stone. This is going to come out on Disney Plus, although I'm pretty sure it also doesn't have a specific release date, but hopefully this year. And yeah, I'm really excited. The set picks look amazing. As I said, a villain origin story. Love it. Ready for it. Ready to see Emma Stone with red hair as well as the half black, half white hair.
Why is it going to be red hair in the movie?
The set pic, she has red hair. I think it's like when she's younger before she becomes, you know, like Cruella de Vil.
Oh,
she has red hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had no idea. Okay. That's so cool. Oh, Emma Stone's so cute. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So that'll be great. Just going back for a second. For the Minions movie, I wouldn't have anyone on this show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
You know, I would have, well, she's probably not going to be in this movie, but the one daughter, the youngest one, who's like so adorable.
I was just going to say, I take my answer back to one of the daughters.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I guess they're not going to be in this movie.
I know.
But what about, I kind of secretly like the middle daughter too, the kind of tomboy with the blonde hair and the, but she wears all pink. And then the Miranda Cosgrove one, she has that feistiness in her that they don't let you see from the get-go, but she has it in her. She just needs help with her freak fly.
I would want Miranda Cosgrove's character on just so we can be like, oh, you're both Miranda. And then we can talk about that the entire time.
Oh, you know? Cute.
And also to ask her questions about iCarly.
Yeah, but theoretically, if we're having her character on. Wait, so is this like we're having the animated character on or the actor?
I would like to have both on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, we'll have the actor on, and for the first, like, 20 minutes, we'll be like, okay, act as if you are your character.
Yeah.
And then the next 20 minutes, they can be themselves.
Definitely. But it has to be legitimately when we hit the 20-minute mark. So if she's in the middle of a sentence as a character, she's like, and I'm Miranda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And then I can be like, so how hot was Jerry Traynor in person? The guy who played Spencer. I had the biggest crush on him. This is so irrelevant, but I'm like really living my childhood fantasy right now through these films. And they haven't even come out yet, guys. Imagine when they do come out and we can make these amazing episodes and have the actors on. I'm so excited. Gosh.
Okay, so the next film I'm also excited for is Don't Worry, Darling, which is the Florence Pugh and Harry Styles movie. It's directed by Olivia Wilde. She's also in it. There's also Gemma Chan, Chris Pine, and Kiki Layne. This also is unsure if it's even coming out this year, but let's pray. And yeah, I'm excited. The thing is, this, which I didn't even know previously, this is a psychological horror film. So our poor Julia probably will not be tuning in because she does not have the tolerance for horror movies.
No, I don't. I don't.
Tolerance isn't the right word.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense. Because I do feel like I could build it up after a while if I really was willing to like endure a multiple. But I will say this, I'm very offended and I feel a little bit betrayed by the fact that it's a psychological horror. Like, that's very like unfair to me. I think Harry Styles is sexy. Of course. I actually am a big Harry fan. So I feel like weirdly targeted by the genre. I feel like, Olivia Wilde, because you know what's frustrating? It was just when I started announcing, I started being vocal about how much I loved Booksmart that this started coming up. Interesting. So I feel like it's a weird, like, Olivia Wilde being like, get off my jock. I don't even want you enjoying my films, which is, like, frustrating to me. Because Booksmart I went into and I was like, I'm not going to like this. Because I hate just, like, I don't know why lately, but I can't just watch, like, a stereotypical, like, high school teen film. It, like, makes me angry in every inch of my body. It fills me with that Jerry rage to just go at Tom. And with Booksmart, I was cackling. That scene where they're in the car and the lesbian porn goes over the speaker. I genuinely thought I was going to wet my pants. Like, I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but I was like, I literally was pointing at my screen and I was watching it alone. Because I was like, do y'all see this? I was dying. I don't know why. That was just the way they were acting and stuff was so fun. And the noises didn't even make sense to me. Like, it was just so funny. I was like, what is this a recording of? Like, what's going on? It was so funny. Anyway, so I feel like Olivia Wilde is like, well, you've underestimated me, Julia Kay, and therefore my next film's going to be a psychological thriller. I felt the same kind of betrayal with Jordan Peele because Get Out, I feel like Get Out for me is probably like the furthest I could tolerate because, and some people make fun of me when I say that Get Out scared me because it's not like a classic horror film. Well, not necessarily that, but I remember I saw it and I was like home alone and I told my mom over the phone that I was like genuinely scared to like sleep alone in this dark house and whatever. And she was like, well, what was the movie about? And I told her and she was like dying laughing. And she was like, you're scared of a movie that's about like stealing these people's brains. And but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because there's an element of sci-fi in it. And I was like, no, but mom, read between the lines.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like understand what the film means. Like, it was just so scary. Actually, the one scene from that movie that still haunts me and I still remember so well is when the man in the beginning, this black man, is just walking down the street at night and legitimately a car just pulls up, suffocates him and throws him in the trunk and drives away. That scene, that's the very first scene in the movie, and that legitimately haunts me. And I was like with my friends, and like when I saw that scene, I was like, oh no. Because I can handle a type of horror if it's completely supernatural and just completely unrealistic. And that's why I like these stupid teen shows where they're like vampires and werewolves and stuff like that. Like, I actually like and I'll laugh at because it's so fake, but that beginning scene messed me up because I was like, no, because this can just happen so easily. Like, it's that's such a real scene, and it left me with like a sick feeling in my stomach. So, anyways, went back to Olivia Wilde, you biatch. I do not appreciate that you have made this a 50 psychological horror film. Florence Pugh, you have that creepy smile that you put on during Midsommar. So I don't need to be involved with this film. However, I would love if some of our audience members report it back to me. Send me some Harry stills. I actually tweeted, I remember, pictures of Harry on set and compared it to like these specific pictures of Tom. And it got like so many likes. Everyone was like, what? Like, people didn't believe me that it was Harry. They freakishly look. I mean, they don't look alike, but it was like from the back and the way their hair was styled. And Harry was wearing these like gross low-rise jeans that Tom always wears. And it was scary. That was the real psychological horror. It was when those two looked like identical twin brothers. That's what Olivia Wilde should make a movie about. And then Olivia, as we all know, has now gone on to date Harry. So I'm theorizing that this man looks really fine in this film. Seriously. Because do people, I mean, no, this is a theory I have. Because if he was on set of this movie and every day had to be covered in like, ugh, I can't even, I mean, Harry looks so attractive no matter what. But if, I don't know, if he had to be so gross and grimy, though, I mean, we saw those set pictures of him with the suit on, he's carrying the briefcase, I would fall for him too.
Yeah,
that's
but
really just,
you know, people what? Can fall for actors even when they're doing, being terrible characters like Jacob Elordi.
No, but he's still meant to look attractive. I'm talking about
actors,
think about, have you ever seen Strangers with Candy?
No.
Throw that idea out the window. I don't know. Let's.
But an actor, like, I mean, sometimes,
no. For example, if you were on set of Joker, would you look at Joaquin Phoenix and be like, oh, that's my dream man right there? That scene where he's like dancing and he's like a terrible dancer and he's green hair. What the?
I wouldn't. No. But the other thing is, I would probably never look at him like that. So it's not the best example for what you're I understand what you're trying to say.
What about in her?
Yes. Okay. I get it. I do understand your theory.
You can style Timothée Chalamet in Lady Bird, for example. That famous shot of him where he's like looking up at Lady Bird, but he's not looking at the camera, but the camera's on him, whatever. That's a very like famous shot for like teenage girls who are sexually deprived because he looks perfect. They legitimately styled his hair and everything and did the lighting and everything so that he would look as attractive as he physically can. Whereas sometimes in movies, it's the exact opposite. And I have a feeling in this film, Harry will be styled to look extremely attractive. That's not a very crazy theory. Anyways, all I'm saying is Olivia and Harry, I wish you the best.
Okay. Next movie is Black Widow, which was also expected to be released, I think, in May 2020. And then it obviously got pushed back. Now it's supposed to come out May 2021. Although, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it got pushed back again. Because May is pretty soon, if you think about it. But yeah, I'm excited. It's another origin, or it's not an origin story, is it? It sort of is. It like shows her family and stuff that you didn't really know about before. But yeah. Florence Pugh, again, she's in that as well. Sort of a different role for her.
I think Marvel needs to swallow their pride and release it on Disney Plus.
Just get over it. Just, it's not going to come out in a theater. Move on.
And Marvel has more than enough money. This is like a weird, they're purposely avoiding it at this point. I saw an article today that legitimately said Marvel still has no plans to release it on Disney Plus. And it's like, for why? It's strange to me. But I also think this hurts movies. And I think with the pandemic, a lot of directors and whatnot have had to swallow their pride and just decide to release it on a streaming platform, or like Christopher Nolan, at least take that jump and decide to release it in theaters, like do one or the other. The constant pushing it back, unfortunately, it loses its momentum and it becomes forgettable. I completely forgot Black Widow was like even on our list for a minute, even though we were talking about more family-friendly films, because I guess that would be like PG-13, but anyways, 13's a pretty young age, because it's just not becoming memorable to me anymore. Do we even have the trailer?
I think that we did have a trailer, yeah. But I agree, if they just keep pushing it back and back, it's going to lose so much. I guess I wasn't super excited for it in the first place because I'm not very attached to Black Widow as a character. But I'm definitely getting way, way less excited. And you know what it's going to end up like? It's going to end up just like Chaos Walking and Uncharted, where they're just never going to come out. And nobody's going to care anymore.
Yeah, I think it's awkward because Natasha died. So it's obvious their plan was, okay, Natasha dies, but then for her fans, we're having a movie all about her, finally. We're giving you what you've always wanted to see. And unfortunately now, it's been so long since Endgame has come out that there's no longer this, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's dead, I need this movie all about her now, because she's been dead for so long. Like, we're over it.
Yeah.
We're not mourning anymore, you know? So, and I feel bad because, like I said, it's a pandemic, they can't do anything about it, but they really should have followed their pride and be like, okay, we're releasing it on Disney Plus, or release it in theaters and have it come back on HBO Max. This is strange to me. Anyways, and as you mentioned, Chaos Walking and Uncharted, they're both Tom Holland films. Tom making money.
Except his movies never come out.
I should say, yes, he's probably spending more money on the flights he's taking to film all his movies, and he's not making any of it back. Tom is having this curse on his career where all of his films, and what's so sad about Chaos Walking and Uncharted is they both have been delayed for forever before the pandemic.
I know.
You can't even blame this on the pandemic. That's what's so sad. Like, I genuinely feel bad. Because here we have Cherry that's going to be released before these other films. And these other films were filmed years ago.
Like, genuinely, Chaos Walking was filmed so long ago. Well, Uncharted still has filming to be done, but it was pushed back, not because of the pandemic originally. But yeah, I'm worried. They're doomed. If we will ever see Chaos Walking, I have no idea. I want to see it. I read the books. I loved them. But who knows at this point.
And from those films, I would have Tom Holland on this because, number one, he'd obviously recognize me from the iconic photo op we took in which I portrayed MJ and he was Peter Parker. And it was amazing. And I hugged him at the end, even though I wasn't allowed to. And he laughed at my dancing / loved it. And when I went back to meet him for the second time, I said, hey, it's me again. He said, oh, yeah. Hey, what's up? I remember you. So yeah, that's the first point, is that he would recognize me and love me and therefore feel very comfortable. But also, we would have the type of banter with Tom Holland where we would sort of pick on him a little bit, and it'd be a cute like us sort of making fun of Tom Holland, and he'd be like, I'm confused why you're making fun of me right now, I'm the multimillionaire, I'm years older than both of you, what's going on? We'd be like, ha ha ha, so true, bestie, and then virtually like slap him over the screen. It'd be so funny.
Personally, for me, from the Chaos Walking cast, I would want the little dog who plays Manchi, just to tell me, you know, what it was like being on set, how he feels that his movie isn't coming out, how he feels that everybody is talking about Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley and not him.
That's true.
It's probably a hard life.
That's true. We could so start another podcast in which we interview people who play very small, or animals, who play very small roles in films and just ask them, what is it like to know that literally nobody is focused on you in this project? Like, even your family is probably very starstruck by whoever's playing the lead. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Manchi has felt that. I am ecstatic to move on right now. I have been thinking about this person this whole episode. I need to mention, so we tried to refrain from jumping right into our Zendaya spiel because you guys get more than enough of that with us. Although you can never have too much Zendaya talk, I'll be the first to confirm it. However, we need to pace ourselves sometimes. It's like a drug. So to finally give in, I need to mention, oh, wait a minute, Zendaya's not in this movie. What am I talking about? I just did such a compliment. Okay, wait. I just did such a complicated opening because I wanted to mention the French Dispatch. But okay, no, I see what I'm saying. So what I was trying to say is that I want to segue into Zendaya. So therefore, I'm going to mention a movie that stars one of her most talked about co-stars of a movie we're going to mention after this movie. So I'm segueing in. So Zendaya's not in this movie, but this is my Jules riding her bike into the topic. So the next movie I will mention is a film that should be familiar with you all. It is called The French Dispatch, directed by Wes Anderson. And in this film, it stars, to read some of the cast, Timothée Chalamet, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Owen Wilson, Saoirse Ronan, Tony Revolori.
Yes.
Is that right? Elizabeth Moss, Francis McDormand. Great. Edward Norton, Willem Dafoe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Angelica Houston, half of that cast, I'm sure you all recognize from every Wes Anderson film ever. Also, you didn't write his name, but Adrian Brody. I'm strangely attracted to that man. And the day that he's not in a Wes Anderson film is the day that I write a very strongly worded to Sir Anderson himself. However, Miranda, please explain to our audience a little bit of what this film is about.
Yes, so there isn't a super specific synopsis of this film yet, but it's basically described as a love letter to journalists, which I think is a really pretty description. It makes me so excited. It is set in a fictional French city in the 1900s, I believe, and it's going to center on three storylines, which are actually bringing to life three stories from the fictional magazine, which is called The French Dispatch. And it is inspired by Anderson's love for The New Yorker, another magazine, super famous, you've probably heard of it. And a couple of the stories are even based off of articles from The New Yorker. So it's pretty cool.
I think it sounds like a super interesting film. I was originally a broadcast journalism major, so I'm once again going to take this strangely personally. However, yeah, I think it could be good. Once again, I just want it to come out so bad because I'm pretty sure it was supposed to come out in the summer of 2020.
Yeah.
Like the end of July, I believe.
I think it was actually originally like April 2020 and then July 2020 and then May 2021.
Got it. That July release would have been great for my Cancer and your Leo.
It was supposed to be released the day before my birthday. Just saying.
Oh, really?
You know?
Wow. Things are lining up, people. Anyways, I'm excited to see it. I feel strange when Timothée Chalamet is in a movie. Like, this is just I need to mention that real quick. I feel strange when Timothée Chalamet is in a movie because I feel weirdly like he feels so young to me, which is strange. I'm literally 19. He's 25 now. I don't know why. I feel like he's my age, if not younger. I feel like if I were to meet him in person.
Because he acts like he's your age.
Right? Yeah. And I feel like if I were to meet him in person, it'd be like the relationship I just described that we would have with Tom, although almost meaner. Like, I would almost take it too far. And he would
get a little scared. He'd be like, okay, I don't know if this is a joke still, or... But then you would, like, joke around again, and he'd be like, oh, okay.
And then he'd, like, get a boner.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Like, this is, like, he's very... Basically, the adjectives I use to describe Timothée Chalamet, sweaty, horny, French pig boy. And that's also the name of my firstborn child. But it's like, seriously, I mean, it's just very interesting because telling me, if you were to visit me years ago and tell me, if you were to just show me a picture of Timothée Chalamet and say, this man will be in a Wes Anderson film called The French Dispatch, I would turn around and say, that makes the most sense I've ever heard in my life. That is like Timothy and Wes Anderson's, both of their wet dreams. That is like their ultimate orgasm fantasy. French, literally, he is in France. They give him a mustache. He gets to look deranged. He is like, he has a girlfriend who's a woman of color. We all know Timothy's a sucker for that, even though all of his ex-girlfriends have been like racist. Have you seen that? It doesn't matter. So I'm just interested to see it. I'm sorry that I'm not really commenting on the other actors and the actual theme of the film itself. But I feel a weird responsibility to talk about Timothy when he's even the tiniest bit related to whatever we're discussing. I will say Adrian Brody is very strangely sexy to me. I'm very excited. Owen Wilson, I would not mind a night with him. Angelica Houston, I don't know why. It just brings me comfort when I see her in a Wes Anderson film because she's just such a familiar face. And I loved her in Smash. You know that musical? That doesn't matter. I look forward to it. I really look forward to it. Saoirse Ronan, a little scary how she's in everything.
I know.
People always like to bash Zendaya for being in everything, but let's compare.
I know. Anyway. It really makes perfect sense to me that Saoirse Ronan is in this, though. And I'm excited for Tony Revolori, too, because he was also in Grand Budapest Hotel, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, another Wes Anderson film for him.
Yeah, he was really good in that. He's talented. And I always say you have to be extremely talented to be a person of color in a Wes Anderson film. Because Wes Anderson, if you're tall and skinny and as pale as the white lining on the door I'm looking at right now, and if you look a little bit European or something, Wes Anderson will fall head over heels in love with you and put you in all of his films for the rest of your life, and you will never have to worry where your next paycheck comes from again. However, if you're a person of color, you gotta claw your way into this project. And I'm sure Tony Revolori, during the time of the Grand Budapest Hotel, I mean, he wasn't an established actor. Like, he was... That was very impressive. And I believe I saw Spider-Man Homecoming before I ever saw the Grand Budapest Hotel. So I'd only seen Tony play a non-serious role at all. And the Grand Budapest Hotel is definitely a very campy, like, silly film. But to, like I said, to be in a Wes Anderson film who's such an established director and play such an iconic role, you gotta be great. So hats off to any person of color whoever steps foot on set of a Wes Anderson film. I just have to say that.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm really excited for this film. I mean, the premise just seems really interesting to me. And The New Yorker, I agree, is a great magazine. So I'm excited to see what he does with that inspiration. Moving on, there's also Don't Look Up, which is also super star-studded, like to a point where it's getting ridiculous. The two main characters are Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio, already super famous. And then just to list off a lot of the cast, there's also Cate Blanchett, Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Timothy Chalamet again, Ariana Grande, Chris Evans, Tyler Perry, Matthew Perry, etc., etc. And I say why to Ariana, not as offense, you know, I think that she's a wonderful artist. I do think that she has acting skills, but I am confused. I'm just confused.
I'm confused. This cast is very confusing to me. Mm-hmm. And right before this episode, Miranda and I were rereading the cast and we were like, Ariana Grande. Because, I mean, to a certain extent, Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio, Cate Blanchett, Meryl Streep, Timothy Chalamet, that's kind of it. Like, those people being in a film together makes sense. Timothy's already worked with Meryl Streep. A lot of them have worked with each other. They're kind of in the same caliber. But Ariana Grande, where are we getting that? What role could she possibly play? Chris Evans, I guess they call it a political satire disaster comedy. Chris Evans, yeah, I guess if you're going to have a political satire disaster comedy, Chris Evans weirdly makes sense. Like, Matthew Perry, sure. Tyler Perry, why not all the Perrys? The platypus should come next. So it kind of, like, I get it. But Ariana Grande, it's so, I genuinely hope they're doing a, because it's some sort of two astronomers trying to warn the Earth about an asteroid. I genuinely hope they're like in a very serious, heated moment where they literally have seconds to save planet Earth. And all of a sudden, Ariana Grande comes in this super short mini dress, 8-inch high heels, bright red hair, and she's like, what? Like, I can't even, it would be so funny if she just played a complete idiot. Like, if she just played, like, Kat Valentine, that would be so funny. Like, I don't even want her to get in there and be serious. Or I want her to play Ariana Grande. Can you imagine if they were, like, these astronomers, and they were like, oh my gosh, we need more oxygen. And Timothy Chalamet's like, well, I don't know how to help you, but would this Ariana Grande CD help you? And, like, Ariana Grande, like, joins them in space. Like, something so crazy. I would love, but it doesn't seem like there's a way for her to genuinely, seriously, be integrated into this. That doesn't make sense to my brain.
I want everything that you're describing, but at the same time, I would love if she would come in and shock everybody by, like, being a phenomenal actress in something. I mean, it is a comedy, so I don't know how serious every scene is going to be, but I would like to see her genuinely acting, you know?
No, here's what scares me about it. Timothée Chalamet in a comedy?
Yeah.
We should end the episode there. Understand. What the? No. Here's why I'm confused. The French Dispatch, too. Wes Anderson has a very campy vibe to him. It's a very, or not even campy, it's like a it's a quirky, kooky, very precise aesthetic that's very recognizable. It's, yeah, it is almost like a satire. Like, it's a strange, it's a exaggerated, like it's a over-exaggerated acting. It's very, the colors are very saturated, very prominent. It's very over-exaggerated. Timothée Chalamet with this crazy hair he has on and like the mustache and the cigarette. I'm not putting the pieces together. I feel weird. I don't know. I feel like certain, I don't know. I just think, I just think if you get a call, if you're someone like Timothée Chalamet, who's grown up speaking French out of your butt, your name has an accent on it, you're like being cast in these Italian films where you drink champagne and like do things inside peaches and stuff. To hear that you're going to be in a Wes Anderson film, I'm sure that was a big deal to him. And I'm sure he was like, oh, I got this. I know how to be in a Wes Anderson film. Like, I'm sure this is something he's thought of before when he decided to become an actor. So that scares me. And him being in Don't Look Up with all these like really established names. Good luck, Charlie. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do think Don't Look Up will be very talked about regardless of how it is, because look at the cast. And I do think it must have a good script for all these names to sign on, for Ariana Grande to come out of the shadows and do this. Come on, girl. I trust you. But Timothy with comedy, he's someone I laugh at, not with. And I still think he's sexy.
I think that we can take his performance on SNL as an example of how he's going to be in this movie.
Can you imagine? Oh my God, I can't. I still think he's sexy. And that's what's, okay. That's really the disease of it all.
That's what's troubling. I would be concerned if I were you.
And when him, I'm not even going to, okay, just go on what you're saying.
Okay, moving on, because honestly, Don't Look Up just confuses us more than anything else. But we already talked about Timothy because, yes, because the asteroid. But staying on the Timothy topic, unfortunately, sorry if you're tired of it, I am too. We're going to discuss Dune, which was supposed to come out in 2020, but has been pushed back to 2021, and it's doing the in-theaters and on HBO Max release, starring Zendaya, of course, Timothy, Jason Momoa, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, Rebecca Ferguson, and Josh Brolin, and like a bunch of other people. And it is a sci-fi based off a book. And Zendaya and Timothy are playing love interests, and that's all I have to say here.
Flatlines. When I saw the Dune trailer, first of all, absolute robbery, tomfoolery, buffoonery, distillery, that Dune, we should have seen Dune by now. It was supposed to come out December like 18th or 16th or something, 2020. I was so mentally prepared. Like, when I saw that trailer, when Zendaya and Timothy went in for that kiss, oh my God, would I tell you, every negative thought I had about Timothy washed away, and I was like, kiss, kiss. It was quick. It felt like, no, it felt like some weird redemption art. Like, I don't even understand how to describe. I just want to know, like, who genuinely was like, Timothy needs to play Paul. And so, like, who, like, I can't. I just, when I see them in that theater. And once again, Timothy's this horny boy who, you know, wakes up in his bed, sweaty. That's a key word that I used to describe him. That was the adjective that I used. Sweaty in his bed after having a dream about Zendaya. And this is something that I do believe Timothy does in real life.
Haven't we all? Too far.
Oh, sorry. I was reading a text message. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah. I think they could either be a dynamic duo or, well, actually, no, I can't even say this. Zendaya, as per usual, is barely going to be in the movie. She said she was on set for 4 days.
I know.
4 days, girl. I'm pretty sure they have guest stars on random TV shows on for longer than that. 4 days. 4 days. People give some people, it takes them 4 days just to give birth.
Does it?
Probably not. Well, no, it can take you like 2 days or yeah. I'm sure there are people who take 4 days. Yeah.
But yeah, once again, really short amount of time she's on set, and yet they're using her so much in the trailer and in, you know, the press about it, because everybody knows that everybody wants to see Zendaya on the big screen.
Yeah. Dune's going to be great. And I hate to say it.
It's going
to
be great.
But Timothy looked really attractive. You know in that scene where he goes, "What's in the box?" Mm-hmm. And Rebecca Ferguson. Wait, is it Rebecca Ferguson who has the... Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. When Timothy...
Rebecca Ferguson plays his mom in the movie.
It must be her. Anyways, when Timothy says, "What's in the box?" His hair, that's how every man should wear their hair. That's how it's supposed to be styled.
Everybody take
notes. If you are listening to this right now... it's a podcast. You're still free to like roam your phone and stuff. Type into Google, Timothée Chalamet, "What's in the box Dune trailer." But I was very unattracted to him when he screamed. Like when, you know, when he puts his hand in the box and he screams. That was a weird, like he kind of looked like a child to me. Yeah, his hair is great.
It just switches on
it
and
does
off.
Does with him.
The attraction
it's a,
to
it's
him.
It's a matter of seconds. It's very scary to me. But Dune is going to blow our minds. And Oscar Isaac is... yeah, gonna do what he has to do.
So I would love if the last movie we talked about was Spider-Man 3.
Audience cheers!
If you know anything about me and Julia, you know that we love Spider-Man. You already know that we love Zendaya and Tom Holland. So obviously we would love this. It was also supposed to come out earlier, but now has been pushed back to December 2021, which, while sad... I am excited because it will be at Christmas time.
No, I can't do it. I can't change my mind to it.
Yes. Okay. Julia and I, it's a July
movie. It's a July movie. And we not love only is it a July movies. Movie, look up the original release date to Spider-Man Far From Home. That says July 5th.
Then look up Julia Peterkin's birthday.
Julia Peterkin's birthday, July 5th. Spider-Man Far From Home release date, July 5th. Coincidence? I think not. Spider-Man Homecoming actually... If you look at photos of Tom Holland promoting the movie in front of the backdrop, I don't know what to call it. It actually weirdly says Spider-Man Homecoming July 5th, and it says July 5th all over the posters and stuff. I'm not sure why, because it came out, I think, like the 7th or something weird. I don't know. And then Far From Home was moved to the 2nd, and they claimed it was moved because of July 4th weekend, but that's weird because July 4th is always a thing every year, so what? I don't know. The point is, they were trying to send me a message. Both films come out very close to my birthday. Actually, I saw Spider-Man Far From Home, not for the first time on my birthday, but then for the second time on my birthday. And while I was in the theater with my friend Lily, this guy and his beautiful girlfriend were waiting for their food with us. And this guy was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry," to me. He was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You look just like this girl in this show that I watch. Do you know Euphoria?" I was like, yeah, I think I've heard of it. And he was like, "Yeah, you look just like the main character. What's her name?" And I was like, "Oh, Rue." He was like, "Right, but played by..." And I was like, "Zendaya." And he's like, "Zendaya, yes, like, love her." And I was like, "Oh my God, man." And he was like, "Not at all that you look like a drug addict. That's not what I'm saying." He literally was so... He thought he was like offending me. I was like, "No, this is an insult to Zendaya. Don't apologize to me." And then he turned to my friend Lily, who's blonde and skinny and beautiful. And they were like, "Oh my gosh, and you look like Jules, you guys." And we were like, "Aw." And it was so cute. And then we reenacted the entire show from episode 1 to 8. From start to finish. We were there for hours.
That's so cute that you saw Far From Home on your birthday. Because remember, then we saw it on my birthday later in July.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. So oh my gosh, was that in that freezing theater with the reclining seats in New York City?
Yes. It had reclining seats and it was freezing. And it was like midnight.
Yeah, we literally saw it at like midnight. That was crazy. Wait, was I sleeping over? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great day. That's when we met Barbie, is it not?
Yeah.
So much happens in July. So I feel robbed of this release date. And I understand they didn't want to push it back an entire year, which of course I respect. If it were to come out in a few hours, of course I'm streaming. Like, I understand. I'm going to miss running from theater to see it in the heat. You know, like, it's just the vibe. Like, something about us seeing it in New York City on a hot day, wearing my romper, you wearing all black. Like, it was so cute. Like, that no Christmas time release can replace.
I just realized I probably won't even be in the city when it comes out. So I'll probably be home since it's right before Christmas. Okay, I'm officially mad at this release
date. I'm mad at it too. I probably will be, it depends like on my finals, but I don't even want to, I want to be home. I don't want to be in Syracuse, New York for the release of, like, are you crazy? Like that does nothing for me.
Yeah.
So Peter MJ, there have been some set picks released and Peter MJ are up MJ to no good. Working. Okay. December 17th is a Friday. So I'm going to come home.
Okay.
Anyways, so Peter MJ, there have been some set picks released and they're up to no good, guys, as per usual. I don't know why I said that, but as far as we know right now, yeah. MJ is working as...
You can just tell.
Yeah, I mean, they never... Yeah. MJ is working as a cashier at a bakery, right?
Peter Pan Donut Shop. Yes.
And Ned supposedly is working alongside her, though I didn't see him in the pictures, but that's what everyone said.
I didn't either.
And Peter walks in with a note. He looks nervous and adorable as per usual. It's snowing. He looks like classic Peter Parker. And there are people passing him on the street. So it's clear that something has happened where people don't know he's Spider-Man or something has been reversed. Because there are signs on the windows saying, there are like some signs saying like, I'm with Mysterio and stuff like that. And there are some signs saying like, believe Spidey, like stuff. I'm obviously paraphrasing, but... Very interesting. I really want to see what's going on there. And even him walking into the donut shop, it seems like he has something to tell MJ. She slides him a coffee. It's a whole thing. I'm very intrigued.
Yes. And obviously, when the movie comes out and when there's more information on it, we will, of course, discuss again on the podcast because we just can't help
Somebody would have to dare me to shut up about that movie. When I saw Spider-Man Far From Home for the first time, this is actually a very embarrassing story about myself. When I saw Spider-Man Far From Home for the first time, I came home and went on my treadmill every day for like 6 miles, like just nonstop. I couldn't sit still because I was so physically fueled from the Peter MJ. Seeing Tom, I'm like tearing up right now. Seeing Tom Holland and Zendaya kiss on the big screen in a movie theater, and like I was not dreaming or not, like that was something extraterrestrial to me. I saw that movie so many times. I saw Spider-Man Homecoming so many times. I saw Far From Home so many times. I was crazy. I was like walking my dog disoriented like the next morning. It was so bizarre. I wasn't well. People had to beg me to shut up about it. So yes, when this film comes out, there's no chance we're not blowing up your podcast notifications. Mm-hmm. And I love to say it.
Okay, so on that note, I think that we should wrap it up. We've discussed basically everything that we are excited about for 2021.
Yes. However, I do have one last question for you, Miranda. Before this episode, I asked Miranda to please explain a spin-off movie that if she were in charge of Hollywood as a whole, she would love to see more than anything else. So Miranda, and we don't know each other's. So Miranda, if you would like to share this spin-off movie dream of yours, please do so now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, so what I would love to see is a movie of the show Community. Julie and I both love Community. It ran for 6 seasons. It was amazing, although the last 2 seasons do leave something to be desired. But if you know that show at all, you know that, I guess, Abed's catchphrase, one of his catchphrases, I guess, is 6 seasons in a movie. And Community already has 6 seasons, so obviously the next step would be to create a movie. I think that my dream plot would be, you know, I want them to be completely out of the Greendale setting. So what I want to see is, because, little spoiler alert for Community, for specifically season 5, Troy leaves to sail around the world. And so what I want, which I think the cast actually did mention, is to have all of them save Troy, basically, or like go to try find him, because he is struggling on his around the world sailing trip. And so Abed, of course, would lead it. He's like, I haven't heard from Troy in 2 weeks. Obviously, something is wrong. We need to go help him. And then he would convince the rest of the study group to go ahead. And you know, Annie, at the end of the show, she goes to like learn how to be an FBI agent or something like that. So she would also have the skills to find Troy. And you know, at the end, you could have your great Troy and Abed reunion. But I don't want it to just end right there. I want something like Troy finishes his sailing trip, he gets the millions of dollars inheritance from Pierce, and then they I don't know, by their own school or something like that. Because I would like to see Troy and Abed together and the original study group together again. That's
a very good idea. I love that idea. That's like super realistic of a real episode they would do. And you know Dean would so, because they would have to probably sail to find Troy. So you know Dean would get on with a really elaborate like captain outfit, something super funny.
Yeah.
That'd be so good. And you could come up with a really good way to like incorporate why all the different characters need to go, like why Chang would need to go. It would be so funny. That's a good idea, Miranda. I would watch.
I mean, I won't take full credit because I'm pretty sure the cast did say that they want to do like going after Troy after he says
okay.
Like I said that at the beginning of my... plot description.
No, I thought you were saying though how they always toy around with like doing a movie.
Well, yeah, both points are true.
All right,
but what else? I was trying to think. I was like, well, maybe Troy finished his thing and he got the money, and then the movie could be about them like starting their own school or reviving Greendale or something like that. But I would like to see them completely out of that setting. I want to see them on an adventure.
Yeah, because it gets to a point where it literally does not make sense anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I like it. I'm deducting you 1 point for the.
Okay, didn't realize we were doing points, but okay.
For the what?
I'm ready. Wait, what to is judge it called?
The
now.
Copyright? What? I don't know. For the copyright infringement. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So my
go ahead.
My spinoff movie dream. This is just one of my dreams because my secondary one would be a Malcolm in the Middle thing that I can kind of explain briefly. But for some reason, the very first thing that came to my mind is called. It's called, and it's written in bold on my phone, Victory Us.
Oh my God.
So of let me read you just a brief thing that I kind of wrote up, you know, just for funsies. Spinoff movie focused on Beck and Andre's relationship as 20-something-year-old celebrities. Kat and Robbie, also celebs, Kat a singer and Robbie a child comedian, live next door with their roommate Trina, who is still chasing the limelight. Together, all five get into unexplainable situations, often accompanied by their bestie, Jade, who's been traveling the world as the token pop star with an attitude. Around the 30-minute mark, Jade and Beck reminisce on the drugs they did as sexy teenage couple. The duo tells everyone the fruit is fresh, but just as they planned, all six friends trip on Sykowitz's bad coconut milk. So that's not the plot. That's just my overview of if you go on IMDb and be like, WTH is Victory Us? So I'm not quite sure what the plot would be. I'm just very interested to explore them coupled up. I love Trina and Jade being single, Jade being this diva pop star, because it'd be really interesting to see how they've grown up. However, Tori, I wouldn't quite care about.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really interesting to see. And the reason why I included the thing about the 30-minute mark and the bad coconut trip is because that's a classic if you watch films like that, where it's like high school friends reunite for this one weekend or something stupid like that. There's always like at the 30 or 40 minute mark, someone's just like on drugs, but they don't know that they were doing drugs. And it's like the character who is the stoner or whatever planned it, but the goody two shoes character ate their pot brownie, something like that. So I thought it'd be like so funny to see like Kat and Robbie like, wow, and like Trina like so desperate for fame, but now she's tripping on coconut milk. So yeah, that would kind of be my dream. I'm really thirsty for more Victorious because we never got an ending. So and I wouldn't, the thing about me is, and Miranda knows this, I hate endings. I when you said Annie left to be in the FBI whatever, I didn't know that. So for some reason, it's not even just that I hate endings. I will not, like, when I'm halfway through the last season or something, I just stop watching. I don't like knowing that there's only a few episodes left. BoJack Horseman, I was obsessed with. I still have like 4 or 5 episodes left because I was in the middle of one of the episodes and I was like, wait, no, this is too much. So I wouldn't even want this movie to be an ending either, because Victorious was just left off on a random episode. It had nothing to do with an ending. I don't want this to be an ending either. I want it to be like they have a funny adventure.
Just a continuation.
They have a funny adventure. It's not even really explained how they've gotten to these points in their lives. It's not explained where Tori is. Like, nobody cares about anything. They have a funny adventure, and Kat has like a witty bibble catchphrase, and it ends. Or Robbie serenades out with broken glass, or I think you're swell, or something of that caliber. So, and I would love to see Beck and Andre as a couple, because I'd never thought about this before. And then when we were watching it the other day, I was like, wait, they're so in love. This is like crazy.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, a movie producer will listen to this and will create these movies for us. And then in a year when we're talking about the most anticipated films of 2022, we'll be discussing these exact movies that we just created.
Oh my gosh, that's everything. Yes. I'm ecstatic now. Thank you for saying that, Miranda. I like needed that mm-hmm. look forward. That hope. Thank you. That determination. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for following us on this journey to 2021. We say we have high hopes in terms of the film genre. Mm-hmm. So please deliver. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or need somebody to cut your hair on the weekends, you can email us at pnraspberry@gmail.com. We would love to talk. Timothy Chalamet, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry I called you a horny, sweaty French piggy boy.
I'm not
sorry. But it had to be done. Thank you, Miranda. I just wanted to be kind of good cop, bad cop for a minute.
Okay.
To the actors who partook in Victorious, if my idea sounds beguiling, I'm always free to chat. I was going to say to the community cast, if Miranda sounds beguiling, but it sounds like they already have the idea in their own heads as they birthed it themselves.
But I think that they should hire me as a writer and also a new character to be in the movie.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree. I think you would add a lot. I would say they should cast me too, but I'm already playing the dean, so it's like strange.
Yeah, that'd be weird. See you in two roles.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Talk to you later. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed another episode of Miranda and I going on about God knows what this time.
If you'd like to hear more of our ramblings, come back every Wednesday for another glimpse into the one small but strong brain cell Julia and I share.
Unless, of course, this is our season finale.
Well, yeah, but we would have specified that before this outro, right?
I want to say yes, but it also seems like something we'd forget, seeing as you've just pinned us as girls with literally half a brain cell each, so...
Well, I assume that brain cell was 3/4 mine, and you had that 25% all to yourself.
As Miranda has made clear, join us next week or go back to our previous episodes to keep you quenched for the next 7 days. I'm Julia.
And I'm Miranda. Thanks for listening to us.
Put the P in raspberry. Miranda, you were like really behind on that. That was weird.
I wasn't behind.
You were, Miss 3/4 brain cell. You absolutely were.
Okay, well, you just talk fast and I was taking my time.
Leos are always taking their time, and it's like, for what? Exactly, for what?
It sounded good. Our audience loved it. It sounded good.
And you know what?